in his 40s.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, Tumo said, good morning. Let's begin. So we left off on the top of page Tzadikim. So if you remember again, right now the author was trying to give us a mushal. A mushal. And if you remember again, the mushal that he gave us was the concept of sin. Person engages in negative activity, and the first time a person is very uncomfortable with it, second time a little less uncomfortable with it, and by the third time already, it becomes, as his lashon was, kvar nira lo normali. It already begins to look normal. Person doesn't really have much reservations about it, and already Chazal captured this dynamic when they said, Kevan sha'avar adam avera v'shanava, the moment that once a person does a sin and repeats it, na'asis lo keheter, it becomes like a permitted activity. Va'afa pikin, imhu adam masun, and even so, if a person is masun means measured, if a person is a measured individual, adam adin bal hargoshos tviyos binuyos, and a person is a feeling person, a sensitive person, afshu osem maisa, aval halev shalo b'socho, lo shalim im ha-maisa. But you know, the Mechaber says, as much as Chazal say that once a person repeats the act on the third time, na'asis lo keheder, becomes like a permitted activity, so the Mechaber says a feeling person will still go ahead and it'll eat him up inside. He'll do it, and behaviorally he'll be able to do it, but at the end of the day, inside he's going to feel torn up about it. U'balashan yosar kasha, and in a more severe lashon, who achal b'socho, achal b'socho, I never saw this phrase in Hebrew, achal b'socho means it eats him up inside, which is a very profound idea. So what the Mechaber is just pointing out is, as much a person could be on two different levels, behaviorally and emotionally. So behaviorally, I may have been conditioned to engage in a particular act, but emotionally, when I do it, it still eats me up. Emotionally, when I do it, it still bothers me to no end. Yesh memra chasidit ha'omeret. There is a chasidic.
Is that the fight between the neshama and the guf?
That is the fight. It could be the fight between the guf and the neshama. It could be that the guf just becomes habituated just to doing negative things, but the neshama, even though it looks like the neshama is going along with it, the neshama is still uncomfortable with it. It's possible. Although remember, according to this, according to the approach that he's developing, when it comes to chait, the neshama is never really involved to begin with, right? Because his idea is that the neshama remains tahora inside. It's the guf that really, I don't know. But look what he says. There's a Hasidic statement, and this is such a profound idea. Sheyetzahara, yoser, listen to this very carefully. Yoser mima sherotu lahachshil es adam ba'avira. More than the Yetzahara wants to get a person to sin. Get ready for this. Who wrote la hachshil oso be'etzev shenif al etzlo ayide hargoshas hashiflos hapinimis shuchash la'achar asiyas ha'avera. I'm assuming that the Hasidic saying rolls off the tongue a little bit easier. But his point over here is, the saying is that more than the Yetzirah wants to get a person to sin, the Yetzirah wants a person to lose themselves in the pity of post-sin. What does that mean? That again, see, to get somebody to sin is easy, but the truth is sin is a one-time event. But the guilt that sin engenders, the self-pity that sin engenders, this Hasidic saying says, that's how the Yetzirah really gets us. By when the Yetzirah makes ourselves lose hope in the aftermath of sin, that's when the Yetzirah gets us. Look, dugma.
What's the attraction?
I'm sorry?
What's the attraction?
It's not attraction. It's just a byproduct. It's not the Yetzirah enticing us. It's the reality that people often fall prey to depression after sin. He gives an example. Dugma. Adam kois. A person gets angry. Chutz mima shakas ochaloso. More than just anger consumes him. Pamim rabos. Many times. Totally lifiadinu. So it depends on the sweetness or the sensitivity of the individual. Hu misraim al etzem kach shu kois. So the truth is, I'm sure this happens to many of us on a frequent basis. We do something wrong. So in his case, I get angry. So what happens? There is the fact that I got angry. That's number one. But number two is, then there's the anger over having gotten angry. There's, I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I got myself into this situation. I've accepted upon myself, he's using anger as an example. I've accepted upon myself so many times not to get angry. Then when the moment of truth comes, the moment of test actually occurs, shuv hu nofel osa tahom. Once again, I fall into that depth. Ha his dardros shalom yotzeres etzlo muaka nafshis shemafriya lo harbi panim odos yemiakas hatzmo. The depression, the anger, and the sadness that is created as a result of the recognition that I failed sometimes is more overwhelming than the sin itself. So again, I want to be clear. This is not necessarily that the Yetzirah is standing there trying to get us. This is a byproduct. This is that sometimes the reality of what we've done and the reality ultimately of the fact that I failed, that sometimes eats me up more than the actual sin itself. So he goes on. Aton is ponina. So let's contemplate this. So we'll say again, just to follow the flow of this. So forth, and the Chaber is saying is that we have this idea of chait. And what's the danger of chait? The danger of chait is that chait can become habitual. Habitual, the more you do it, the more commonplace it becomes. And the truth is, over time, it actually loses its stigma. Over time, one could even fail to realize that it's any longer sin, and one could just go out and think of it as another activity. But what's even more profound, says the Mechaber, than the habituation of sin, is the feelings of guilt that sin engenders. And sometimes those feelings can be more destructive than the sin itself. Because what happens? A person beats themselves up, a person gets all depressed, a person loses hope. And the truth is, you know, when you feel badly about yourself, that paves the way to do all types of negative things. So sometimes it's the post-sin guilt that is more destructive than the act itself. Aton is boning us. Let's contemplate this. Eich be'emes misnatek adam me'akoshi anafshi shumunach bo acharei asiyas ma'asa shu atzma mudo shlo hayatzarach lasoso. So how should a person avoid this? How do we deal? How can we possibly avoid post-sin guilt? And I will say this is a very careful dance. Because on one hand, you don't totally want to avoid post-sin guilt. Why? Because guilt is very powerful. Guilt can be feeling bad about something is a very powerful way to ensure that I don't do it again. On the other hand, this post-sin guilt that becomes an all-encompassing, all-consuming emotion sometimes can be paralyzing and sometimes can actually throw me into a downward spiral. So how do I, on one hand, I have to feel bad, but I don't want to get enveloped by the guilt. So listen to this. He says, Lezalzo, Chas v'shalom, Kahu alo lachzor shuvel osamaisa. So what am I supposed to do? So let's say I sin now. I'm in that post. So should I put myself down? Should I go ahead and say, you know what, I'm a nothing. Look at what I am. So listen, Chaber, don't do that. You know why I don't do that? Because if a person begins to think of themselves as a nothing, so what's going to end up happening? They're just going to sin more. Because if I'm not worth it, if I don't matter, then what's the point of trying to be better? So what should I do? What is the proper perspective? Im adam yistakel al atzmo b'mabat sha'ani shalo hu gam neshama v'gam guf. If a person, when looking at himself, analyzes his sense of self as both the soul and the body, hari shebishah shu osa es ha'maisa v'ahar kein hu achol agamri ani kachu margish es atzmi nafalti l'makom nora. Because we'll say, remember, if a person intertwines his physicality with his spirituality, his body with his soul, in his coarse sense of self, in his coarse I, then by definition, when he does something wrong, he feels like a failure. He feels like a failure. I've descended into a terrible place. And when a person feels like a failure, and when a person feels like they are nothing, and a person feels that they've tainted their very sense of self, then that could lead a person to a very dark place. And sometimes you'd be surprised. People often don't come out of that dark place. People end up spending their lives, they end up setting up shop in that dark place. And even if a person says, you know what, I want to change, I want to extract myself from this place, I don't want to live in this dark place, it's difficult to extract yourself from it. On the other hand, listen to this. Ha'istaklus shav adam, shemizaha es atzmo ki neshamash shavaluwa shalagos. So we'll say again, remember, this right now, he's working with one central thesis, which is that everything depends on how you define yourself. How you tackle challenge, how you deal with setback, all depends on how you define yourself. So now I sin, which inevitably we all do. So now how do I contend with my post-sin reality? Do I allow myself to descend into a dark place? Do I beat myself up? Do I fall into a depression? Do I say I'm no good? Do I lose myself in just the sadness and hopelessness of the negative act that I've done? Or do I pick myself up? And he says, it depends. How do you define yourself? If I define myself as a body and a soul together, then, and that's my sense, that's my inner I, then when I've sinned, what have I done? I feel I've tainted my inner core. I've tainted my very sense of self. When you taint your inner core, when you taint your foundational identity, that's very damaging. You don't always know if you can rebound from that. On the other hand, l'umas zos, ha'estaklus shal adam shemezah es atzmo kineshama shebeluma shal aguf, alamata shonu l'chaluta. But I also remember, there are two ways you can identify yourself. I can identify myself as a body that houses a soul, or, in which case, again, my core identity is comprised of body and soul, or I can identify myself as what? As a soul that is clothed by a body, in which case what? My core identity is one of a neshama. My core identity is a neshama. If that's the case, if I identify in the second way, that I'm primarily at my core of soul, then how I deal with this situation differs dramatically. Yodehu ba'ofen barur, ki ha'averos hein bebechinas begadim soim. I will say, if my inner identity, if my inner core is my neshama, and my body is just clothing, guess what? When I do something wrong, I have not tainted my inner core, because my inner core remains pure, holy, and unsullied. Rather, what happens when I sin? When I sin, it's my external layers, my begotten, my clothing, my physicality has become soiled, has become dirty. Begotten meluchlochim, huchash shani shalom nishar tahor kimo shahaya. My inner eye remains tahor as it was from the beginning. Rak shemulbashim alav begotten ma'olonokiyim. But what sin does, sin is the equivalent of wearing clothing that is exceptionally dirty. And when you're wearing dirty clothing, it's embarrassing, it's degrading, it's humiliating, and all I want to do is take them off. But the feeling of pain as a result of sin in no way detracts from my sense of self and from my reality that my inner core is good. It's just the opposite. When I believe that my inner core is good, then you know what happens? When I fall down, I don't lose hope. Instead, I realize that I have all the necessary ingredients to pick myself back up. Why? Because the inner core is good. Because the inner core is tahor. Because the purity is never tainted. So most of it comes out according to Mechaber. Remember, everything is all coming back to this central idea of how do I define my I? How do I define myself? And his point over here is another application of that is, how do I deal with the post-sin reality? If a person defines themselves primarily or even jointly by their physicality, then when I sin, I've tainted my very inner core, my very inner eye. If that's the case, it's easy for a person to fall into a state of depression because they've damaged their self. And to repair yourself is very difficult. On the other hand, if I identify primarily as a neshama, that's my core. My body is important also, but my body is a malbush. It's an article of clothing that sits on top of my neshama. So what is sin? Sin is the dirtying or sullying of the garments. And the good news about garments is you can always take them off and replace them with something else. So yes, I have a lot of work to do. I have to figure out how I got myself into this situation, but there's good news. I have not tainted my inner eye. I have not tainted my inner core. That remains holy, that remains pure, and that is there to enable me to rebuild. All right, so we'll stop over here for today.